Do you think that career in the Air Force that you had informed your missionary life, and how do you think it would have or would not have?
Well, you know, it's funny, as you asked the question, a different answer is coming up than I would have given you this morning. When I was 11, I had a sense of call. I remember arguing with a professor in school, professor, whatever, teacher. It was around 1945. It was the end of the war. We had stocked up all kinds of wheat, of butter, of corn, and I mean, there was, you just saw in the pictures in the paper of all of these surplus goods. And at one morning, I don't know how it got started, but there was a teacher, myself, and two other students, and I was a shy guy. But I was angry that they were talking about burning all of this food. And I said, this is not fair. It should go down to Latin America, where people are starving to death. And I realized he took the devil's advocate on it and said, yeah, Joe, but what would it do to our economic system? You know, if we shipped all that food down there, then we wouldn't make any money. And I got angry at that. And I said, I don't remember how I responded to it, but in my heart, I responded with a sense of money's secondary. Let's feed the people first. Let's get them fed. But at that time, only looking back at it, I established the idea of being a missionary in Latin America. And part of the surprise in the book was, you did it. At 11, I established it, and then I did it. So, to answer your question, I had that in the back of my being, that whole sense of being missioner, whatever that meant. I don't know if it meant being a priest or anything, but just being missioner to people in Latin America. And so, when I went off into the military, I'm going to take you away here because I'm going in my own mind and my thinking. Why did I go into the military? What was happening? I justified going into the military from the point of view of I graduated out of high school. I was going to Hofstra College part-time, which did not protect me from the draft. And the draft was breathing down my neck. So where I finished first semester of college, I don't know why, but I just went down to Whitehall Street in New York City and signed up. I didn't say a word to anybody. It was a Friday, a rainy Friday, 9 January of 53. And I didn't ask any questions. I just was there. Oh, I guess I nosed around about joining the Navy to follow my brother, who was a diesel mechanic in the Navy. Mm-hmm. And he was my shadow, or I was his shadow. And I thought, well, it would be nice to follow in his footsteps. And basically, the Navy laughed at me. So, that was them who needed
it. So, do you remember why they laughed at you?
You know, I was a puny little kid at that time. Okay. I weighed 125 pounds, and I was not that cosmopolitan. I was a frightened little kid. How I knew about Whitehall Street, how I knew about going down there, why was I doing that, I have no idea, except things developed out of the book. So I went to Whitehall Street and went through the process and came out the fourth floor. I swore into the Air Force. They gave me a 3-day pass and told me to come back Monday and up to Sampson and basic training up there. Interesting, 10 years to the day, my brother went to Sampson. It was a Navy base. It was boot training for the Navy. Mm-hmm. And 10 years later, I went there and boot training for the Air Force.
Really?
Yeah.
So
I never thought about why did I do that. But having written a book, and just prior to that, I was thinking, I was a foster child in this family. I didn't read it anything more than I was different. I was a foster child in the family. I was 18. My sister, who I loved dearly, got married. I'm living in the same house that they're trying to make merry noise in. And my mother. And so there were four of us in the house, and I thought, I think this is what was going on. I think it was very subtle that I better get out of here. You know, they need their space. And I'm pretty sure that my drive down to Whitehall Street to sign up was to get out of the house, let them have their own room. And when I came back, there was nothing like, "You stupid idiot, what the hell did you do that for?" It was, "Well, let's have a party," which was okay. You're gone, so let's have a party. So that we had the next day, all the family came together, and all the World War II vets were telling me all about basic training and all this kind of stuff. I wish I could have had a good knockout, drag-down fight with my sister and her husband as to what their feelings were at that time. Did they all get rid of that kid? And now we got the old lady. Was that real there? What was that? It would have been interesting to know. But they never will. Well, good. You started out with a question about you became a missioner, but you went this route. Well, that conversation when I was 11 was stuck with me, obviously. I went into the military because that was the only way out of a situation that I saw. Maybe I don't know of any other reason why I would have gone down. I didn't want to go into the Army. I didn't want to be cannon fodder. So I felt pressured to go into my choice of military. So it was something I had to do, to make a move, to grow up in a different way. But I never left behind the whole sense of mission. It was subtly there at 11, you know, and it was not fixed in any way. But then when I'm looking back at it, these things didn't happen by accident. They were allowed to happen, allowed to move along.